Thanks for streaming The Score. Who is 670 The Score? We're Chicago's original sports talk station. Chicago's only all-Chicago sports talk station. Covering all of Chicago's teams. And when breaking Chicago sports news happens, we'll break in with all the details. Guaranteed. Keep streaming The Score to your computer or device for the best sports talk in Chicago. We are Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
It's in your coffee cup, and then realize that's exactly.
Listen to the Lawrence Holmes Show nights 6 to 10.
What's the song say? This is what you came here for. But that's what this is supposed to be about, the drama of it. We are sharing the experience. We're sharing the experience of watching sports, and I'm so here for it. I'm down.
Lawrence Holmes nights 6 to 10 on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's sports station. Thanks for streaming The Score.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 1 to 6.
Allen Robinson.
You guys as a group, as receivers, seem to enjoy putting pads on guys downfield, don't you?
Most definitely. You know, I think a big part of our offense, you know, is us blocking the perimeter. You know, that's for short passes. That's for outside runs. That's for quarterback runs. You know, that's for everything, you know. So, I think another undervalued thing that goes unnoticed is, you know, just as an offense, you know, we love to see each other to be successful. You know, it's a group of guys that we have fun playing together, you know, since day one. You know, we have a lot of different skill sets. We have a lot of talent, you know, and when you got that out there, you know, it's fun blocking for those guys. You know, it's fun playing with those guys. You know, you got guys like Tariq and Taylor and Anthony Miller and Trey. You know, I mean, we have fun getting each other open, you know, blocking for each other. You know, we have fun out there.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 1 to 6. Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
679-0969.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, this is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. Sports Radio 670 The Score. Our radio.com station. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score! Scoreboard update.
From the Chicago Wolves Hockey Update Studio, I'm Joe Ostrowski. With 3 first-round and 3 second-round draft choices, the Wolves are positioned to be the last team standing. The Wolves host arch-rival Milwaukee Sunday at 3 at Allstate Arena. The first 1,000 fans receive a free GameWorks gift card. Mitchell Trubisky threw for 316 yards, 3 touchdowns, and a costly pick in Sunday's loss. Dave Wanstead likes what he saw.
It was a very good game for Mitch, and I know he made a couple decisions in the red zone, the turnover, and another one it could have been, but overall, I would say, and people don't want to hear this, you know, Mitch Trubisky took a step forward. I thought he played well. You know, I mean, I really did, and that was on the road under some tough conditions, so I think he'll continue to move that way, and I would expect the Bears to bounce back. There were so many positives.
Wani with Mully and Haw, the interview on 670thescore.com. Quarterback Josh Allen will not start for the Bills against the Colts. Allen could miss multiple games. The Bears visit Buffalo in 2.5 weeks. Both of baseball's league championship series in action today at 4 o'clock. The Astros host the Red Sox in game number 3. In Dallas Keuchel, Nathan Eovaldi pitching matchup. Tonight, the Brewers will try to take a commanding 3-1 series lead at the Dodgers. Gio Gonzalez on short rest against Rich Hill. The Score's Bruce Levine reports that Jason McLeod interviewed for the Giants' GM opening last week. And a doubleheader in the NBA's opening night, the Sixers visit the Celtics and the Warriors play the Thunder. This update was brought to you by Grandview Homes. Grandview will buy your home today. Go to grandviewhomes.com. And Bears Mondays on The Score are brought to you by Ford, inviting you to visit your local Ford store or buyfordnow.com. I'm Joe Ostrowski, and you're listening to Chicago's number one ranked and most listened to sports radio station, 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com station.
This hour is brought to you by Schaumburg Honda Automobiles. When searching for a new Honda, search for SchaumburgHondaAutos.com.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
No, it's the same one from day one. You just grind out at-bats, team at-bats, pass the baton to the next guy, and just continue to grind out 2-strike at-bats. Guys on second base, got to find a way to get them over. So just doing things like that, and everybody's contributed, and they're starting to see success, which gives them confidence at the plate.
Middays on the Score.
That is the voice of new Cubs hitting coach Anthony Iaposi. In August, when the Rangers' offense was surging, Iaposi is now the replacement for Chili Davis, just the latest on the wheel of Cubs hitting coaches. Here to tell us all about him is Levi Weaver. He's on the Rangers beat for The Athletic, and you can follow him on Twitter at 32EFIS. I love it. Levi, welcome to the Bernstein McKnight Show. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, of course. Happy to be here.
So what strikes you most, or struck you first, rather, about Anthony and his rise to a hitting coach in the major leagues, considering that he never played in the bigs? I mean, some with the Railcats near, or nearby Gary, but not a guy who you would otherwise kind of pick as a history for getting to where he has.
Yeah, kind of a cool story that he made it as like you said, a big league hitting coach that never made it in the bigs. I think he was able to sort of overcome I think the biggest thing with coaches at the big league level is, are you going to be able to communicate with the players? And, you know, if you haven't played in the big leagues, are you a good enough communicator to make sense to the players that they're listening to you? Otherwise, there's really no point in, you know, even if you know everything about it, like, there's no point in having you around if the players aren't going to listen. And I think for me, it was less about his technical acumen, which was there. I mean, he was obviously good enough that he was a big league hitting coach, but I think it was more about his ability to connect with the players. And he was a lot of fun in a season that there weren't a whole lot of fun moments. I mean, the team was in a rebuild. It's a lot of young guys. It was more about development than the wins, losses. And man, Iaposi was always just yelling. And I mean that in a good way. Like, he would just walk into the room with this infectious enthusiasm. And he kind of kept people loose. He kept the players on their toes a little bit. I mean, there was one specific story I remember. We were in Boston, and at, you know, the little Fenway visitors clubhouse, and it was the World Cup. And there was like a team pool. So the coaches and players, you know, everybody had a team that they were rooting for or had been assigned. And I think his was England, and they needed a tie. I don't remember the exact circumstances, but for whatever reason, like, as it was headed to extra time, he didn't realize it was headed to extra time. So we're all just sitting there kind of casually watching this soccer game on a TV in the clubhouse. And he just runs through at the end of regulation, just screaming, like, you hear him from, like, way back in the back, like, and it just gets louder. And he's just screaming, running through the clubhouse. And you hear him running all the way back to one of the other coaches' rooms. And you just hear the scream fade. Like, he was enthusiastic, and I think he's going to be a lot of fun on a very fun Cubs team.
It seems like this is a relationship move. I like the fact that your first response is an anecdote about his personality and his connection with the younger players. Because on the way out, Chili Davis, like, yeah, these millennials, and next time I think I got to know the clubhouse and know the personalities in the clubhouse. That the fact that you describe it as you do, I think it cements for me the understanding it isn't so much about tactics, it isn't so much, and maybe there's a little bit of launch angle in there. Did he preach a specific style of hitting, or was he somebody who was just like, look, let me see your swing, talk to me about what you want to do, let's maximize what you do best?
That was the vibe that I got from him. I talked to him a couple of times. There was one time that Nomar Mazara had gone on a really hot streak, and I asked him, like, you know, everybody asked him, what's going on? And he said, you know, my hands are working really well right now. And everybody kind of nodded, went and wrote, my hands are working really well right now. And I went back and I'm like, hey, I'm kind of a baseball idiot. What does that mean when you say your hands are working well? And so he explained it to me. He said, you know, when I'm in my stance waiting, last year my hands were down kind of mid-helmet, but if I can get my hands up above my helmet, that puts me in a better position to swing. And so I went and talked to Iaposi about it, and he said, you know, yeah, it's some of it is a little bit of the feather in Dumbo's nose. Like, could Mazara hit with his hands down around his shoulders? Yeah, like, he's a big league hitter. He could totally do that. But for him, like, he identified a thing that worked for him, and so that's what we're going to preach. Like, do the thing that works for you. And so, you know, for the launch angle guys, like, he's obviously not going to tell Jurickson Profar to go take the same tactic as Joey Gallo, right? Like, Joey Gallo, you go hit bombs. And if you strike out, that's fine. But your job is to go hit the ball as hard as you can, as frequently as you can. You know, Profar, we want you to hit for a higher average. You've got some power, but you can be a spray hitter. And so I think he was, as you said, a bit more of a personalized approach for each of the guys.
You know, his connections with Maley, a former Cubs hitting coach here, are pretty well known. He was a disciple of his, not literally, of course, but a former player of his, tutelage and that whole thing. What are his credentials? Like, what are the ways that he came up and around trying to teach major leaguers to maintain their swings?
You know, that is a fantastic question that I should probably know the answer to, but I just don't.
Fair enough.
I don't know. I feel like that is something that I probably should have gone and learned. I think my interactions with Iaposi were always sort of in the here and now, like, hey, what's going on with Gallo's swing? Hey, what's going on with Mazzara's swing? Hey, why are you running through the house with a T-shirt tied around your head? Like, what's going on?
That's
so
fair.
As far as, like, his you know, credentials and backstory, I know a little bit of it, but not enough that I'm probably going to provide a whole lot more insight for you guys.
How did some of the young players relate to him then? I mean, because we've got Chili Davis in leaving this job talking about millennials and getting used to conversing with a younger player. You've got guys on that Rangers team, Jerickson Profar is 25, Nomar Mazzara is 23 or 19. I mean, they, you got some young players there.
Right, yeah. I mean, it's a lot of young players. Even Ruben Odor, who seems like he's been around forever. He's
right.
Like 24. You know, we got Isaiah Kiner-Falefa and Ronald Guzman that came up this year that are rookies. Yeah, a lot of young guys. And I kind of got – I didn't ever really bring up the question, like, so what about this Iaposi guy? But you can just sort of you can read people. You can watch the room. And I kind of felt like I got the vibe from them. You know, when teenagers are on vacation with their dad and he does a cannonball, they kind of look at each other and roll their eyes, but they're like, well, at least dad's still fun. You know, like, this could be worse. He's all right. I kind of got that vibe from them. Like, he's obviously not going to go out with them after the games. Like, he's not going to go on vacation with them to the club. Like, he's not there to be a peer or be one of the young guys. But as much as a, you know, guy who is, you know, probably closer to my age can relate to those guys, I think he did. It was sort of a good nature. They'd smile and kind of like point like, man, Posey's at it again. Like, what's he doing? So they, and you could tell that they listened. You would talk to guys as they talked about fixing some aspect of their swing, and Iaposi and Mayshore both. I think they, it was interesting. The more interesting story for me was Mayshore, which I know this is not an interview about just the Mayshore, but how he kind of had a reputation in the minor leagues of not being super well-liked, and then by the time he got to the big league level, there were a lot of guys that credited him with a lot of the swing adjustments that they made. So I think maybe Mayshore was more of the X's and O's guy, and I think Iaposi was probably more of a relational guy of, like, getting the – making sure the conversation continued and making sure that adjustments were being made and making sure that communication happened.
It's what it sounds like, comfort and environment. And I used the phrase when we were talking about Chili Davis before and talking about the how hitting coaches matter or not. For me, Levi, the process here is every really good major league hitter is his own hitting coach. It's a matter for guys who are 24, 25, 26 of learning how to become their own hitting coach. And maybe maybe this is a way that Iaposi is a relationship psychological, a shepherd for them in that process.
Absolutely. And it's not even just that they are their own hitting coach. It's, you know, I remember a conversation that I had with Delino DeShields where he talked about, you know, we all were constantly talking to each other about it. So I'm constantly picking Shinsu Chu's brain and Adrian Beltre's brain and even like Isaiah Kiner-Falefa's brain. Even though he's a rookie, he's very analytical. And I mean, these guys are constantly, it's not just the hitting coaches that are giving them input. Sometimes it's the veterans or it's another peer that goes, hey man, I saw something in your swing. How do you feel about this? So you're absolutely right. It's they are their own hitting coach, but there's an entire team of hitting coaches that, you know, some guys are more vocal than others. Some guys you have to approach and get them, you know, hey, what are you seeing? Tell me. But yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. It's a lot about the psychology of the conversation.
What was Iaposi's current actual contractual situation? I know that he was he the Rangers hitting coach? Was he released to seek other job opportunities upon the firing of the manager? I'm just wondering, technically, what was done here? Did they need to ask permission? How did this work?
I believe they probably asked. So when we talked to John Daniels a couple of days after the season ended, we asked, like, so what's going on with the coaches? Like, they're basically in limbo right now. And he said that, you know, Justin Mayshore had been let go. But the rest of the coaches, he said, we're not going to, you know, keep them in purgatory. Like, they can, if they have other offers, they are free to take those other offers. We understand it wouldn't be fair for us to ask them to stick around until we make a decision. And then maybe the new manager wants to bring in his own guys. Maybe there's a whole new, you know, maybe there's a lot of turnover. We don't know. So he was the only hitting coach that was left, because Mayshore had officially, he was like the only coach that was officially let go. But yeah, I mean, all of the coaches, top to bottom, Doug Brookhill and Dan Worth, and all those guys are free to pursue other employment while the Rangers are continuing their managerial search.
Levo, what kind of conversations went around with either with Iaposi or just with the Rangers in general, their hitters or their front office, about the response to launch angle, for lack of better, or just to use buzzwords, I guess? We're seeing a lot of high fastballs. Christian Yelich is getting a bunch of them in the NLCS. What kind of things were said about that response to a launch angle revolution within that organization?
Yeah, the adjustment to the adjustment, right? That is, again, a good question that I could probably make some educated guesses, but that's not a question that I specifically asked. It was interesting to me to observe the sort of launch angle guys. So Joey Gallo specifically was an interesting case study this year, because he was still, he's still going to be Joey Gallo. Like, he's still going to swing for the fences, but you would see these, for him, I think the adjustment was less the high fastball and more the, like, we're going to just stick 90 in right field and dare you to hit it there. And seeing those adjustments, and it was for guys like Gallo, who their whole life they've just been the guy who stands up there and hits the ball over the fence and, like, just mashers. And now they're getting ridiculous shifts and watching him try to make an adjustment that he had never made before. So, you know, the big thing for him was, hey, why don't you bunt? He's like, well, because I never have in my whole life. And it looks easy, but it's not. Mm-hmm. It's not easy when you've got Verlander up there throwing 98 with cut and you're trying to do something that you've never, ever done before. It's trickier than it looks. And so I know that I did actually have a conversation with Iaposi. He was like, yeah, we're working on it, but he's just not there yet. So I think there have been adjustments made to the, you know, it's always a game of adjustments and counter adjustments. I think these adjustments are happening. But as far as, like, specifically the adjustment to the uptick in high fastballs, that's not actually a conversation that I really ever had.
Where is he on just overall amount of work? I know sometimes Joe Maddon, when he's really being honest, he says he thinks that young players hit too much. There's too much time in the cage that sometimes they don't really allow themselves to breathe athletically enough. And there mm-hmm. are some hitting coaches that only feel comfortable when they're doing flips, or they only feel comfortable when they see a guy hitting off a tee into a net. It's always got to be something. You know, it came up with Chris Bryant, a guy who grew up in a cage. His father's a hitting coach. Mm-hmm. And Joe Maddon's like, you know, sometimes you just, you got to give it a rest. Don't show up at the ballpark or he'll cancel BP. Is Iaposi a guy who you always see in a cage around a cage, or is some of this just an understanding of diminishing returns?
No, in fact, I feel like I saw him more sitting at lockers and having conversations with guys than I did in the cage. And the Rangers cage is, like, hidden, so I wouldn't have actually seen him in the cage, but I saw him enough, like, sitting at lockers in the clubhouse, just having conversations, just shooting the breeze with guys, you know, sometimes talking about hitting, sometimes not. And as I said earlier, so just building those relationships. I think he absolutely fits that mindset of the, you know, don't overwork yourself. Don't burn out. Don't grind out. Like, take some time to let your body process what you're learning.
Sounds really good. Levi, we appreciate it. That's some outstanding insight, and we appreciate you taking the time to join us.
Well, thanks. Sorry about the two questions. I was like, I don't know. Great question. I don't know.
No worries. No apologies needed. Thanks.
All right, good to talk to you guys. Take care.
That is Levi Weaver. That was some next level stuff.
No, I mean that's a relationship guy. You know, that's the understanding here. And that's when the hire got made, and I read a little bit about it. It seemed to me that that's a guy that fit criteria of knowing the young hitters, the five or six guys that they'd really like to see take the next step of development that didn't last year.
Comfort hire. This is a comfort hire. This is make those six players that made it clear in their exit interviews that something about Chili Davis made them uncomfortable mentally, physically. This is a response to that, saying we're going to find the guy that restores your comfort level.
Kind of solidifies the feeling you have about this offseason being one of maybe more standing pat than it is making gigantic trades to revamp a roster. I mean, some will happen. Change happens. But, you know, go through those names, Schwarber and Almora, and I mean, go through the names, and Happ and Contreras. Kind of feels like those guys stick more than they get flipped.
This segment is brought to you by Art of Pizza on State Street. Stop in or carry out thin pan or deep dish, hot, fresh, ready-to-go pizza slices from Art of Pizza on State Street and Polk. That sounds good right now. Choose from up to 18 varieties of slices for delivery or pickup from Art of Pizza on State Street, 727 South State Street. At some point, remind me, I have to get to the worst organization in sports. The
hands down
worst,
just awful
organization of any kind currently.
Only haven't talked about
in
the Raiders
sports
lately.
It's not even just team, the worst.
Oh,
and at any definition, the worst organization in all of sports.
Is it an organization you'd like to take a Sharpie to and perhaps remove their name from things?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I thought.
Or flamethrower. If I have a choice between
something a little more caustic.
Sharpie or flamethrower,
well, all right, then.
I'm choosing flamethrower. The worst organization in sports.
Don't we just gas up the torch?
Yeah, why don't we do it? Because we've got time ahead of Jeff Sullivan who's coming up. Because we've done a ton of football. We're going to do more football. Paul Charchian at 11:40. Anthony Heron coming up. We got the first of three opportunities for you to win $1,000 via text. But next, I've got thoughts on the most reprehensible, the dumbest, meanest, worst organization in sports.
Prep the flamethrower next on Bernstein McKnight, 670 The Score.
Bulls fans, the countdown to tip-off is on.
Portis with a two-handed slam dunk. Bobby Portis.
Game one is Thursday night at 7 versus the 76ers. Our pregame coverage starts at 6:45. Listen to every Bulls game here on Sports Radio 670 The Score, official radio home of the Bulls. The countdown to tip-off is presented by Illini Care Health. You deserve quality health care. Remember to choose Illini Care Health today. Visit ChooseIlliniCare.com.
This is Boomer Esiason with the CBS Sports Minute. Today is National Dictionary Day. It's also the 260th anniversary of Noah Webster's birthday. So what better way to celebrate than by learning some of the last dictionary entries, starting with shruggy. That's an emoticon that indicates a person is reacting with a shrug. Next is kadult. That's an adult who acts like a kid. Take Odell Beckham Jr. or Yoenis Cespedes, for example. Many kadults like to high-five with both hands. The new term for that is 10-up. Health-conscious athletes who 10-up often apply so-called hand sauce to protect against the spread of germs. Fans and players alike try to be as selfie-genic as possible when they pose for themselves. However, when it's a group shot, say following a pick six, if you will, that's called a UC. Frankly, my reaction to this vocabulary lesson could probably be summed up in one bold-faced shruggy. I'm Boomer Esiason.
When you're 40, it's usually too late to become a fighter pilot or a pro football player, but not a rookie cop.
Okay, we got some new blood this morning, and some who was born before disco died.
I'm something of a pioneer.
ABC Tonight, the rookie is being called a must-watch.
I'm here to work, and I won't lay you down.
And a surefire hit.
Police, open up.
Nathan Fillion is...
I gotta work twice as fast, three times as hard.
Because you're old as hell.
The Rookie, series premiere tonight, 10, 9 central on ABC.
It's fantasy football time. Sleepers, busts, player rankings, all good stuff. But it takes time to put together your strategy. And then you have to wait for your buddy to make his first round pick. What's he waiting for? It's so obvious. Waiting can be frustrating, but not at Great Clips when you use the online check-in app. Download it today. Save time. The app will automatically show a map and estimated wait times of all the Great Clips in your area. It's your pick. Great Clips. It's gonna be great.
Not Fuller's Weather.
Fuller's weather. Not Fuller's weather. Fuller's weather. Fuller's Car Wash, all around the corner from you. They can't control the weather, but they can make it better. Make this a Fuller's Day. Dirty car, bright future. Visit FullersCarWash.com for the location nearest you. Fuller's Car Wash, since 1946, making Chicagoland shine.
At Hyundai, the longer you look, the more there is to like. Listen closely and you'll be just as impressed with what you hear. The Hyundai lineup of cars and SUVs offers a wide range of advanced tech and safety features, like available blind spot detection to help keep you clear from surprises. Like that guy. And available wireless connectivity to turn your daily commute into your own private jam session. Plus, each Hyundai comes backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain limited warranty, surrounding you with peace of mind. Heard enough? Visit your local Hyundai dealer today and take some time to look around. We think you're going to find there really is a lot to like.
Lease the Tucson for just $149 a month or get up to $3,000 in total savings. Visit your local Chicago or Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealer today. Call 877-248-1585 for details. Do not rely completely on blind spot detection and be sure to use proper lane changing procedures. Feature may not detect every object or vehicle and will not prevent accidents. See owner's manual for details and limitations. Powertrain limited warranty is 10 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first. See dealer for limited warranty details.
Do you know how old your water heater is? Most water heaters only last about 10 years, and 70% of all water heaters get replaced in an emergency. That's not exactly convenient. What is convenient is that the Home Depot has the most advanced Rheem water heaters with the latest technology. If yours is about 10 years old, it's time for an upgrade, and time to get a Rheem water heater, peace of mind included. Now that's convenient. Only from the Home Depot. More saving, more doing.
And now, an ad from Dad.
All right, what do we got here? Save money on car insurance when you rent a home, auto with brakes. Save money on car insurance. You ready? Save money on car insurance when you bundle home and auto with Progressive. That sounded pretty good, I think. I could do it one more time, but I think that's... What do you say? Nailed it, right? Nailed it.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
What if every time you went out, you could cash in? Now with the Capital One Saver Card, you earn 4% cash back on dining and entertainment, like their first taste of guacamole.
Ew! Gross!
And 4% cash back when you take your kids to the museum for the first time.
Whoa, buddy, don't touch that.
No matter your reason for going out, now you have four more. Introducing the new Saver Card from Capital One. Earn 4% on dining and 4% on entertainment. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Capital One Bank, USANA.
Deserves.
Friday night, join Lawrence Holmes for the Miller Lite Top Draft Show from 6 to 9 at Old Republic Kitchen and Bar in Elgin. Enjoy the broadcast, enter for a chance to win Bears tickets, and watch a live interview with former Chicago Bear great Lance Briggs. Brought to you by Miller Lite. Hold true.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
.1027 Sports Radio 670 WSCR, The Score, Bernstein and McKnight. We are your midday show on your sports station here in Chicago, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Monday through Friday with all kinds of things for you. I'm looking at my judgment of the single most awful organization in sports. And it's proportional to its size and power and influence. Okay. Because I understand, if we really are judging this fairly, the IOC or FIFA, as far as people who are harmed by their existence...
Yeah, they'd be toward the tops of the lists.
Right. If you're talking about stadiums that get built with slave labor and people dying...
Or the dying.
The dying. That there, and we have had any number of discussions about what happened at Penn State for all those years. What has gone on, we know, at all these different levels of Ohio State and all that Michigan State and all of the sickness that's gone on there from these institutions of higher learning that are using state tax dollars to do it. There's a lot of awful out there.
Well, there's a lot of money out there.
So something like the IOC or FIFA, obviously, on balance, has probably caused more harm to more people.
Well, the dying.
Especially the part with the dying.
With the dying.
But relative to its size and scope, you cannot even make an argument for any organization in sports to be worse on any level than USA Gymnastics.
They have had a bad, bad year and a half.
To be not just tone deaf, but to be completely obtuse, to have the actual athletes involved telling their stories en masse, crying to you, screaming to you, begging to be heard, wanting to be listened to, hoping to have a seat at the table in their future. And after years and years of abuse and enabling of sexual abuse and physical abuse, and not just Larry Nassar, at multiple levels, and the stories of, about Caroli Ranch and everything that was happening in the fiefdom of Bella Caroli and his wife. So it takes forever for USA Gymnastics, eventually under scrutiny, as they have tried to shine sunlight to disinfect this organization. The board resigns, right? And they replace it with a new board, and they hire a replacement, an interim CEO, who could not have been worse, this Kerry Perry, who did nothing but snap back into obfuscation and hiding and pretending to hold meetings with people that she never intended to hold. Sponsors have bailed. They've fled the organization. The individual gymnasts themselves, who sometimes now are working without sponsorship dollars, without support, who've only been able to advocate for themselves and tell their stories. So they say, okay, well, I guess this latest woman, this Kerry Perry, isn't working out. So they hire a new interim CEO, and it's Mary Bono, who was a primary player at the law firm that helped create the cover-up for Larry Nassar.
Come on.
I kid you not. They hired a search firm. They got recommendations from a search firm, and they have put in charge of their organization somebody who was a part of the organization that created, that doctored up, no pun intended, all of the excuses for Larry Nassar's behavior. And there's more.
Scoreboard update.
From the Chicago Wolves Hockey Update Studio, I'm Joe Ostrowski. With 3 first-round and 3 second-round draft choices, the Wolves are positioned to be the last team standing. The Wolves host arch-rival Milwaukee Sunday at 3 at Allstate Arena. First 1,000 fans receive a free GameWorks gift card. The next 3 ALCS contests take place at Minute Maid Park. Houston's Dallas Keuchel will pitch on 7 days rest against Boston's Nathan Eovaldi, best-of-7 series tied at 1. Milwaukee has thrown 3 shutouts in 6 playoff games. The Brewers lead the Dodgers 2-1. Lefties Gio Gonzalez and Rich Hill on the mound tonight. Jason McLeod has had a huge say in the Cubs bringing in Chris Bryant, Kyle Schwarber, and Gleyber Torres, to name a few. Bruce Levine reports that the Giants interviewed McLeod for their GM vacancy. Breaking news on the score is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai in Algonquin. Save time, shop online at rosenhyundai.com. I'm Joe Ostrowski, and you're listening to Chicago's number one ranked and most listened to sports radio station, 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com station.
That's just the half of it.
Oh, there's
the
more.
The fact that she was a partner at this law firm. They also, of course, never checked the social media feed of new USA Gymnastics interim CEO Mary Bono.
How does anybody keep forgetting to do that?
They never checked her feed, which has a picture of her responding to Nike's partnership with Colin Kaepernick by taking out she is a picture of herself. This is Mary Bono blacking out the Nike logo on her golf shoes in response to that.
Because she didn't want to be affiliated with the Nike brand.
Correct. Because she was so angry with Nike's partnership with Colin Kaepernick that she proudly and publicly took a picture of herself using a Sharpie on the Nike logo on her golf shoes. So the actual most powerful person in USA Gymnastics, Simone Biles, sent out a tweet that said, "Mouth drop." Don't worry, it's not like we needed a smarter USA Gymnastics president or any sponsors or anything. And she's a Nike athlete.
Yeah.
She's a Nike-sponsored athlete who knows they don't have sponsors.
and understands that she wields the power of the organization.
Correct. So that immediately, because Simone Biles did what she did, Mary Bono then said, oh, she deeply regrets the tweet.
She deleted the tweet, I bet.
USA Gymnastics board says they're disappointed by the post, which they say they missed due to an oversight.
You know, quite honestly, if she has this, if she's anti-Colin Kaepernick Nike affiliation and message, right? Okay.
No, it's not okay because USA Gymnastics actually went out and said, we want our athletes to speak up.
Right. So if she feels that way, fine. So be it. You want to disagree with doing what he did, with dealing with all, fine. It can't be public. It can't be. Because the athletes that you're trying to relate to, the athletes that you're trying to manage and put out in front, all of them, almost all of them, I would imagine, are right there with Kaepernick and with Nike. You've made this bumbling hire, to say nothing of her affiliation with the law firm that had to do with the Nassar cover-up, but you've gone
to
ahead...
to engineer the Nassar
right.
cover-up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's nothing that makes sense in hiring this woman to be, even if she's the most qualified person to lead this, you can't have publicly her stating something that is so in the face of all of the most public athletes at USA Gymnastics. Nonsense.
Several texters want to know, did they hire Ernie Accorsi as their search firm? No, they did not hire Ernie. They did not hire the ocelot that lives on his head. And I think that's what happens, what you do, like when you're Aaron Rodgers and you pull the rabbit out of your head. Ernie Accorsi did that one time.
There was an ocelot?
I believe that Jason Witten described the fact that Ernie Accorsi removed an ocelot from his head and then he placed it on top of his head and left it there.
Usually you just get a field goal for that, though.
That's apparently what you do.
Ocelot's worth three.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, just the 3 points. Yeah, you get touchdowns for rabbits. That's how that works.
Because that was they actually hired a search firm that found this. How can you pay whatever hundreds of thousands of dollars to a search firm?
Wouldn't you want your money back?
That can't go through the social media feed to say, you know, by the way, you might want to know that she had this reaction to Nike when you're in the market for sponsorship dollars.
Phenomenally smart people, otherwise smart people who go through work at law firms, understand the public relations aspect of, you know, life in general at this point, right? Social media just is kind of part of life, part of business at this point. How is it that you get to a job like this? I mean, it feels like going back to conversations we had around the All-Star break, but how do you not understand that people are going to go through your stuff, this public stuff that you've written in ink? How do you not understand that people are going to go back through that?
And it's not like she can
find your horrible opinions.
I was in high school in a small town, and that's the way we talk. No, this was her relatively recently doing this to show people
within
how she felt. With this just happened.
It's remarkably recent.
And Simone Biles is also sponsored by Nike, and that's the most powerful person in your sport. I don't know. I don't know. And she's angry because somebody is speaking up against injustice when you have just finally had your arm twisted enough to tell all of these abused girls and women that it's okay to speak up.
I feel really badly for people who wanted to, women or men really, who were just getting into their whole gymnastic career. You know, the 10 and 11 and 12-year-olds who are probably all starting out on their, because it starts earlier than that, I'm sure.
Yeah, they start at like 6.
Yeah, but yeah, no, you're right, they do. But, you know, at like 9 and 10 and 11, you just kind of, you probably start to realize the public relations fiasco that USA Gymnastics has been over the last year and a half. And now you really start to think, God, I don't want to be in this anymore. That's when you start to realize the public perception of a thing affects your enjoyment, perhaps, in it. You know, especially when the public perception of it is so damning and gross.
But there you have it. The worst organization in sports, USA Gymnastics. Coming up next, baseball stuff. Our guy Jeff Sullivan from FanGraphs makes his weekly appearance.
We got to talk launch angle with him. We got to talk high fastballs with him. We got to deal with some of the quotes Chili Davis gave to Gordon Whitmire of the Sun Times. It's a good conversation piece with Jeff Sullivan next on Bernstein and McKnight. 670 The Score.
This is 670 The Score, Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station, period. Thanks for keeping us on top, Chicago.
This is firefighter Raphael Porriette for Firehouse Subs, introducing the new
Firehouse Pub Steak Sub with savory steak, crispy fried onions, and our rich Belgian beer cheese sauce. On tap for a limited time. Order yours at firehousesubs.com today. Remember, a portion of every sub you buy helps provide life-saving equipment for first responders. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Limited time only, plus tax. Participating locations. Firehouse Subs will donate a minimum of $1 million in 2018 to the Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation by donating 0.13% of every purchase.
If you are carrying a balance on your credit card, that is bad news because you are looking at an average of like 18% interest on that, and that starts to run away from you. So what you need to do is turn those balances into a monthly payment, one single payment at a lower fixed interest rate, and start saving money right now. And you can do it with Lightstream. Lightstream is offering a credit card consolidation loan from 6.14% APR with AutoPay. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000. You can get your funds as soon as the day you apply, and you can make that day today. Lightstream believes that people with good credit deserve a great interest rate and no fees, and they're a division of SunTrust Bank. It's one of the nation's largest financial institutions. You can have complete peace of mind. And there's another reason, because just for listening, you get to save even more with an additional interest rate discount on top of Lightstream's already low rates. So don't wait. The only way to get this discount is by going to lightstream.com/Dan B. LIGHTSTREAM.com/Dan B.
Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Dan B for more info.
It's time once again for fantasy football. You take a running back or a receiver in the first round. It's a lot of educated guesswork, but you don't need to take chances on your haircut. Great Clips has clip notes, technical notes on your haircut, so you don't just get a cut, you get your haircut every time. Visit any of the 200 Northern Illinois Great Clips salons in the Chicagoland area, and clip notes will make sure you don't just get a cut, you get your haircut. Great Clips, it's gonna be great.
Who doesn't love the sound of Chevy Truck Month? It's your chance to save loads of cash and haul in the savings on every new Chevy truck and SUV. Save over $10,000 off MSRP on new 2018 Silverados or $6,800 off MSRP on new 2018 Equinoxes. Now that's some big truck savings. Truck on over to Sunrise Chevrolet in Glendale Heights or visit sunrisechevrolet.com. Find new roads. Pricing in lieu of financing. Silverado number 37298, Equinox number 20227.
Did you hear the news? Metro PCS is now Metro by T-Mobile. Now you get new plans with unlimited high-speed data all month long, all on the T-Mobile network. Check out the new Metro by T-Mobile today and discover the smarter way to get unlimited. Metro by T-Mobile. That's genius. During congestion, the fraction of customers using greater than 35 gigs per month may notice reduced speeds. And Metro customers may notice reduced speeds versus some T-Mobile customers. Video streams at 480p. Coverage not available in some areas. See store for details and terms and conditions.
This is firefighter Raphael Porriette for Firehouse Subs, introducing the new Firehouse Pub Steak Sub with savory steak, crispy fried onions, and our rich Belgian beer cheese sauce. On tap for a limited time. Order yours at firehousesubs.com today. Remember, a portion of every sub you buy helps provide life-saving equipment for first responders. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Limited time only, plus tax. Participating locations. Firehouse Subs will donate a minimum of $1 million in 2018 to the Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation by donating 0.13% of every purchase.
11 a.m. with Xfinity.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Jeff Sullivan.
We want to go into the weeds. Jeff Sullivan of Fangraphs.
Senior editor at Fangraphs.
You get on base, we win. You don't, we lose. And I hate losing.
Going inside the numbers.
There are still dinosaurs out there, but there's exit velocity on national baseball games now. People are talking about UZR on broadcast. It's over.
You still don't need cybermetrics. If it has anything to do with figuring stuff out.
Jeff Sullivan with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Yeah, we've got stuff to figure out, and that's why Jeff Sullivan is here. Fangraphs senior editor on Twitter at @based_ball, and joining us on the Bernstein and McKnight show as he does during baseball season. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, it's going to be weird. We only have like another, what, one of these? Two of these? I don't know how long the season goes. We're almost out of time.
Yeah, but it'll be longer for Yasmani Grandal. At least it'll feel longer for him. That's been a real tough go. So, Jeff, the Cubs hired a new hitting coach, Anthony Iaposi. I'm getting used to saying it myself and stumbling a few times through it. What do you believe about hitting coaches in general and how important it is to have somebody who speaks the language versus someone who's a technical fixer? Any specifics?
So what the first of all, from the outside, you know, you always hope you have a leaderboard, you can find the best players in the game. There's no way to really identify the best coaches in the game. We just don't know how to do it. There's way too many variables. But what I think is an easy point to miss is if you look at any article that's about Chili Davis on his way out or Anthony Iaposi on his way in, and you'll see quotes. I was just reading about Davis a few minutes ago, reading quotes about how, you know, he thinks that he has the right message, but he failed to deliver it. He failed to get the Cubs players to listen, or you could say the Cubs players failed to listen to him. Doesn't really matter. The point was that they're, at least according to Davis, and I think according to the Cubs front office as well, there was a barrier. The messages were not conveyed and understood as the Cubs would have preferred. And I think what you see, think of how many swing change guys there are again around the game. Think of JD Martinez and his swing coach is now, I think, like an assistant hitting coach with the Diamondbacks or something like that. You've got these independent swing doctors, and this applies to pitching coaches as well. There are coaches who can communicate very, very well with individual players. Maybe they see eye to eye with different personality types and they just kind of mesh well. But there's a difference between maybe connecting with one or two guys and connecting with an entire clubhouse where you have people who speak a lot of different languages, literally and figuratively. And it seems like maybe in this case, seems like probably in this case, a failing of Chili Davis is that he just wasn't able to adapt his message. And, you know, he's had success before as a hitting coach, or at least he's been around when his teams were successful at the plate. But it seems like the problem here is just that if he is confident in his message, he was not able to find a way to communicate it to all the different corners of the Cubs clubhouse. And the hope, I guess, is that Anthony Iaposi would be able to, be more familiar with the various types of baseball people, better able to communicate with them. I don't know if that's true, but in a situation like this, you kind of have to take the team at its word because they're the people who are literally there, and I'm just a guy in Portland, Oregon.
Portland's a nice place to be. So as we're looking around, we kind of, over the last 3 or 4 years, have started to see or began to see the swing change guys, right? Whether it's Mitch Haniger early on or whether it's J.D. Martinez. Daniel Murphy, one of those guys. David Bote, one of those guys. You start to see some of this stuff happen. Are we at a point where we're starting to see the adjustment to the adjustment? What does Ian Happ have to do to hit a high fastball? How does Christian Yelich adapt to the high fastball at this point?
So, yeah, Yelich is an interesting case. You can talk to Yelich. I think Christian Yelich is probably done having launch angle conversations, maybe for the rest of his life. I think he's probably just so tired of hearing about it, although at least for him, he's annoyed at the conversation after a good season. Think of poor Eric Hosmer and saying, anyway, that's a different point. It's hard. You look league wide. There are so many anecdotal cases of guys who have made swing changes to try to lift the ball in the air. You know, all this stuff, try to counteract the shift, hit more home runs, et cetera. So many anecdotal changes. And then you look at the overall league numbers and the ground ball rate has declined very slightly. The average launch angle has increased very slightly, but there's nothing real dramatic in there. And so what I think we were seeing even a few years ago is that you were seeing some more high spin, high four seam fastballs targeted to the fly ball hitters. And you'll see that now. I mean, look, I don't know. An example right now would be Jock Peterson or Cody Bellinger. Watch Cody Bellinger swing.
He's down on his back leg. I mean, he goes down to one knee more often than not.
Yeah, that's incredible. And also, whenever he pulls, he's tricked me a few times. Whenever he pulls a fly ball, you just assume it's in the upper deck, but he just, I don't know. He's happened in the World Series last year and happened a few days ago. He just hit the fly ball out of the track. Anyway, you look at a guy like Cody Bellinger and there's just he, because of his swing, he's just not real able to get on top of that high pitch. That's not true of everyone. You look at someone like Giancarlo Stanton or George Springer or Nelson Cruz. These guys hit the ball really hard, but they have kind of flatter, more level swings. And this is just kind of the way that it goes in the game where you have players who are making adjustments, making themselves better. I think, you know, take a guy like Mitch Haniger. He certainly is a far better player now than he was a few years ago after making changes to his swing. But that doesn't mean that he doesn't have a vulnerability. Maybe when he was a worse player, he was better just at getting on top of the high fastball. But now he's more likely to get exposed up there. And that's just part of it. everybody short of Mike Trout or Miguel Cabrera 5 years ago has a weakness somewhere. And if you're a hitter, you're just trying to make sure that you can punish mistakes. And that's where launch angle guys, like the new launch angle guys, that's where they really thrive, because if pitchers are able to execute their pitches all the time, they're going to get almost everyone out.
Have you seen the Bill James tweets? I've been sort of following the conversation from afar, and Len Casper was tweeting about it. Bill James is tweeting about the idea of baseball devaluing the starting pitcher is, and I'm trying to walk through this because a lot of this is just old man yells at cloud, but part of it is baseball exists to entertain. Baseball is less entertaining when starting pitching means less. Therefore, baseball must find a way to retrofit the meaning of starting pitching to keep old people entertained. Am I getting this right?
I think this. You're delivering the message. Maybe you said old people a few too many times in that explanation. I was talking to I'm podcast co-host and staff writer for The Ringer, Ben Lindberg. I was talking to him about this last week. He wrote an article at The Ringer about the decline of the starting pitcher. I wrote an article at Fangraphs about the decline of the starting pitcher. Mine sort of piggybacked off of his, and there's clearly been a decline in a diminishing role for the starting pitcher. You don't have to take it as extreme as the Tampa Bay Rays, but even elsewhere, starters just aren't working as deep. We know this. So there's been a long-term decline in how many innings they're thrown. Now, there are two ways to look at this. One, this is happening because starters get tired, they get worse, and then you bring in these relievers. Every bullpen has six guys who throw 98 with a wipeout slider. They're just everywhere. And so, of course, it works to a team's benefit to go to the bullpen sooner and not to overexpose the starter. We don't need to walk through all the explanation. It's just everybody knows it by now. But there is a compelling, I think, point to be made about the way Ben Lindberg laid it out. As he thinks of the starting pitchers, or at least he's always thought of the starting pitchers, as sort of the protagonists of the baseball game, and there's a story around them. And if you have a hitter who drives up his pitch count, then that's something that should matter. Or maybe you have a manager who's I think the 15-year anniversary of the Grady Little game, or maybe it's a day late after that. You think of the managing decisions in the 7th and 8th that used to be made that don't really have to be made now, unless the pitcher is, I don't know, throwing a no hitter and he's got 108 pitches under his belt. So that's something that is missing. And honestly, I kind of miss it too. The question. So I pulled the audience at Fangraphs. I pulled them last week. I was curious how people feel about the decline of the starting pitcher, just from an entertainment perspective. And of the people who expressed something other than a neutral opinion, it was actually a 3-to-1 ratio that people expressed a negative opinion on the decline of the starting pitcher. And these are nerds. These are baseball nerds. Yeah. Like, these are people you'd think would be at the vanguard of appreciating everything that's new and novel and innovative. And I guess the real question is going to be, is this just a blip? Are we just not used to it yet? You think of, your favorite website you go to. If they change their template, then like for the next week, you'd just be furious at the website because you'd hate it. You want what you're used to. And then you kind of get used to it. Maybe you see the benefits and you adapt and move on from there. So it'll be interesting to kind of rerun these polls every year to see if the attitudes shift. But right now, I think that people do miss the starting pitcher working deep, and I do too. It's not a deal breaker, but there is something lacking for sure.
There is a pretty vocal segment of coaches/analysts, some of them at Driveline, who maintain that teams would develop starters if only they knew what the hell they were doing. Is that a fair assessment of why you don't have as many starters in this game right now, that it might just be easier to develop flamethrowers for 25 pitches apiece?
Well, it is. I guess I shouldn't say it's not easy to develop a relief pitcher, because it's not easy to find someone who can throw 100 miles per hour and has a secondary pitch. There is still a dearth of these guys relative to how many teams want these guys, but it is far easier to develop a starting pitcher or a relief pitcher. And when you have a starter, it generally requires more patience. You need to have faith in a guy's durability. It's certainly, you could have a bad team in baseball and they could end up with 5 or 10 interesting rookie relievers, but they might have only one interesting rookie starter candidate. And then you have to think, well, how good is this guy going to be long term? Because we can just constantly rotate through new relievers year after year after year after year. You're treating them as, you don't even see them as people anymore. You just think of them as just these slatter machines you bring up from Double A. So there is a sort of there's an appeal in the ease with which you can find a reliever. You can have a starting pitcher prospect in high A at the start of the season. He could be in the majors throwing the eighth inning by August or September if you just put him in a smaller role, tell him lean fastball, lean slider, and then just go for it. And it requires so much more patience to work with that guy as a starter. And you throw in how little teams still know about what makes a pitcher durable. And I can I can see how it's swinging in that direction. I think of a case like Edwin Diaz with the Mariners a few years ago. When he was still very young, he was down in the minors. And the Mariners have had a bad farm system for a long time, but he was their best starting pitcher prospect at the time. And the Mariners said, you know what, we're going to convert him to relief. And he was in the major league bullpen that summer. It took very little time at all. And it's hard to say that they made the wrong call, but there was a lot of consternation at the time that, well, why not work with the guy? Why not see if he can develop a changeup in the next 2 or 3 years? For God's sake, he's got the time. But the team didn't do it. It's hard to blame them, because right now teams aren't being penalized that much for not developing many starting pitchers.
Hey, before we let you go, real quick, Jeff, have you remembered, is there anything that this Yasmani Grandal meltdown has in precedent for a position player to be this bad all over the place? I mean, there have been some, but on this stage though, in the postseason, all of a sudden, we know there's like Byung Hyun Kim had some issues. Like there have been some bad beats out there, or it was Brad Lidge. There's been some bad beats, but to have a position player seemingly lose the ability to play, I don't remember anything like this.
The name that keeps coming to my mind is just Matt Wieters from, what was it, last year's NLDS?
Oh yeah,
everything is a blur, but I mean, Wieters was just
he was off
a catastrophe, and I mean, the Nationals brought him back anyway. But you could sort of see a career flash before his eyes at that point. I don't know if you remember, like 10, 11 years ago, there was MattWietersFacts.com, and it was just like when Matt Wieters is a top prospect, he was supposed to be the next hot shot, the next perennial MVP, and you know, Wieters had a fine first half of his career, but at this point, no one really thinks much of him anymore. And I don't know. I always root for the players in these situations. I root for Clayton Kershaw and David Price to shed those playoff labels, and I hope that Yasmani Grandal has a great game four. But it is giving me a lot of Wieters flashbacks, and that's not a good thing. I mean, you watch the Cubs and Matt Wieters. That was a 4.5 hour game five, for God's sake.
Jeff Sullivan, thank you.
Absolutely.
We'll talk again next week. Jeff Sullivan, it is now time for your chance to win $1,000 in cash on the Score. This hour's text keyword is crumbs. Text crumbs to 72881 by the end of the hour. Again, the keyword is crumbs to 72881. One randomly selected nationwide entrant from this hour will win. Please do not text and drive. Message and data rates may apply.
We got the Midday Midway coming up next. I'm going to tell some old baseball stories. We're going to remember some things. That's what we're going to be up to.
I've got a man swimming where he shouldn't, and I have a rogue pig.
Rogue pig.
Rogue pig.
It's next Midday Midway. Keep it here. Bernstein and McKnight, 670 the Score.
Bulls fans, it's Chuck Swirsky
and Bill Winnington. This is where you want to be if you want to run with the Bulls.
Right to the lane, the lead pass, Holiday with a left-handed dunk.
Listen to every game here. Plus, it's where Bernstein and McKnight talk Bulls ball. Middays, 9 a.m. to 1. Right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's official radio home of the Bulls.
Tales.
You heard me say a lot of nice things about my Brooklinen sheets. Well, you're not just hearing it from me, because Good Housekeeping has named Brooklinen the winner of the best of online betting category. Business Insider with rave reviews. They're the fastest growing betting brand in the world with over 20,000 five-star reviews, and that's because the sheets are awesome. And you might be sleeping on regular old pedestrian sheets. You say, I got a great mattress, I got a great pillow. But it doesn't mean anything unless your sheets and pillowcases aren't absolutely top-notch. And you don't have to go to a little boutique store. You don't have to go to a department store. You don't have to worry about getting upsold. It's everything just what you need, and it couldn't be simpler at brooklinen.com. My Brooklinen sheets are the best and most comfortable sheets that I've slept on, and brooklinen.com has an exclusive offer just for you. Because you're listening, you get $20 off and free shipping. But only when you use the promo code Dan at brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so certain you're going to love your new sheets that they're offering a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all of their sheets and comforters. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is by using the promo code Dan at brooklinen.com. That's brooklinen.com. Promo code Dan. It's Brooklinen, and these really are the best.
When your battery goes dead, everything can come to a stop. Don't take a chance on getting stranded. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and get your battery tested free of charge. If your battery does need to be replaced, O'Reilly Auto Parts can help you find the exact Superstart battery that fits your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm here with Catherine Todaro, Dean of Creighton University's College of Nursing. The Bureau of Labor projects that nursing will be the highest growing profession over the next decade. How is the university preparing to meet this demand?
Creighton has done a number of things. One, we've increased our number of traditional nursing.